Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something really practical, figuring out how to find the right support for kids and families in Ontario. It can feel, well, complicated.
It really can.
Yeah.
Knowing exactly where to turn, especially when you need help quickly, is crucial, and it often hinges on geography.
Right, which organization covers which specific area? And that's exactly what our source today helps with. It's a directory from emergencyhousing.ca.
Mm-hmm. It lists Children's Aid Societies, CAS, and similar services across Ontario.
So think of it as a guide, listing the organizations, their contact info, and the really key part, where they actually provide services.
Exactly. That geographic responsibility is the core piece.
So our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack this list, not just read it, but understand its structure, what it tells us about how services are set up in Ontario, and, you know, pull out the key things you need to know to use it effectively.
It's about seeing the system sort of mapped out in this directory data.
Okay, let's dig in.
Right. So looking at the list itself, it's pretty clearly laid out entry by entry.
Yeah, you get the basics for each one. First, the name of the organization.
And you see different types right away. You've got the general Children's Aid Societies, some Catholic Children's Aid Societies, and also, very importantly, specific Indigenous Child and Family Services. Some names are bilingual, too.
And a phone number, naturally. Essential contact info.
Of course. Then there's usually a location listed, like a main city for the organization. Hamilton, Thunder Bay, places like that.
Okay, but here's where we need to pause, right? Because that listed city isn't necessarily where they serve.
Exactly. That's probably the single most important thing to grasp from this list. That city might just be an admin office. The critical information, the part that tells you who serves your area, is in a different column.
The city's municipality served column. That's the one you really need to focus on.
Absolutely. If you just go by the city name next to the organization, you could easily call the wrong place. That column is the map key.
And looking at that column, wow, it really shows how varied the service areas are.
It does, doesn't it? The way they define those areas differs hugely.
Yeah, like some cover massive territories. I saw Child and Family Services of Grand Erie list the whole city of Brantford plus the counties of Brant, Haldimand, and Norfolk. That's a big chunk of land.
A very large region, yes. But then you look at another entry, like Bruce Gray Child and Family Services.
Oh, I saw that one. The list just goes on and on. Dozens of specific little towns, villages, townships, things like Sarawak or Artemisia, even combined township names.
Incredibly granular details really highlights a major insight. There's no single uniform way these service areas are drawn.
So why the difference? Is it historical boundaries, population, something else?
It's likely a mix of factors, historical county lines, municipal reorganizations, maybe population density. Mm-hmm. But the key takeaway for someone using the list is that this variation, this fragmentation, means you have to find the exact location needing service within that detailed column.
You can't assume the nearest big town CAS is the right one.
Precisely. The organization responsible for the next town over might be completely different.
And this isn't just a rural thing either. You see it in big cities too, like Toronto.
Right. Toronto's a great example. The list shows the main Children's Aid Society of Toronto, the Catholic CAS, and Native Child and Family Services of Toronto.
And they all list Toroto, but sometimes they also specify like Etobicoke or Scarborough.
That's exactly. So even within one major city, you have potentially overlapping or distinct service areas. Sometimes divided geographically, sometimes by population focus, like the Catholic or Indigenous services.
So it adds another layer. It's not just where, but sometimes who or which specific mandate applies in that spot.
It shows the complexity. You really need to read carefully. Floris for Children and Adults of Prescott Russell, for instance, lists tiny places like Alfred individually. It's that specific.
Okay, and this brings us to another really significant part of the list. The specific entries for Indigenous Child and Family Services.
Yes, this is crucial. Seeing organizations like Anishinaabe Abenuji Family Services, Dilico Anishinaabe Family Care, Kiwanibitgomi, Tikinagan, and others listed separately is vital information.
It tells you right away that specialized, culturally specific services are part of the system.
Absolutely. And importantly, how their service areas are often described is different.
How so?
Well, instead of just listing towns and counties, you often see specific First Nations communities named directly, like Tikinagan listing Bearskin Lake, Cat Lake, Deer Lake, or Anishinaabe Abenuji, listing Nazca Mingguani in Grassy Narrows.
Which makes sense, reflecting their specific mandate to serve those communities.
It does, but it also reveals some interesting nuances when you read the descriptions closely.
The nuances, like what?
Well, for example, Dilico mentioned serving the native population within broader towns like Thunder Bay. Nidan Sinodic notes serving indigenous children already involved with non-indigenous societies in certain areas.
Okay, so coordination between agencies might be implied there.
Potentially, yes. And Tikinagan has a really interesting note. They serve families from their listed First Nations communities, even if those families are currently living in other listed towns like Thunder Bay or Sioux Lookout.
Wow, okay. That's subtle but huge. It means for some indigenous families, finding the right service isn't just about where they physically are right now.
Exactly. It can involve their community of origin, their affiliations. It points to a system trying to provide continuous culturally appropriate care that might transcend simple geographic lines at a given moment.
That adds complexity, but it's clearly aiming for better, more relevant support.
It certainly highlights how providing that kind of care across different places and situations is complex, and that complexity is visible even in how this directory is structured.
So, boiling it down for someone using this list, step one is ignore the main city listed for the organization, at first anyway.
Right. Go straight to that city's municipality served column. That's your primary tool.
Find the specific town, village, First Nation, or even township where help is needed in that column.
And that entry will point you to the correct agency responsible for that exact spot, whether it's a general CAS or a specific indigenous service provider. Match the point on the map.
Got it. So let's recap the main insights we've pulled from looking closely at this source.
Okay. First, this directory is a vital map for navigating children's aid and related services in Ontario. Second, its structure immediately shows significant geographic fragmentation service areas vary wildly in size and specificity.
From huge counties down to tiny individual places.
Right. Third, it clearly highlights the distinct and essential role of Indigenous child and family services.
And how their service areas are often defined differently, focusing on specific communities and populations.
Which sometimes involves nuances beyond just current location, like community of origin or coordination with other agencies.
And finally, the absolute key takeaway for using it. Finding the right help depends entirely on matching the specific location needing service to the correct organization listed in that detailed cities, municipalities served column.
That's the core process.
So what's the bigger picture here? What does this deep dive into a practical directory really tell us?
Well, I think it shows that even a task that sounds simple, finding help, relies on understanding a pretty complex underlying system of boundaries, geographic boundaries, and sometimes population-based ones too.
That detailed service area column isn't just data. It's like the operational blueprint for how help is supposed to be accessed across the province.
Precisely. And here's where it gets really interesting, I think.
Go on.
The very specific ways the Indigenous service areas are sometimes described, mentioning specific First Nations, serving populations within towns, considering where families are from, it really highlights how the system is trying, or at least structured, to layer that culturally specific care onto the geographic map.
It reveals both the intention behind specialized services and maybe some of the practical complexities involved in navigating between them.
Exactly. Which leads to a really important question for you, the listener, to think about. Mm. Given this detailed, sometimes fragmented, sometimes overlapping map of responsibilities, how does the sheer complexity of finding the one precisely correct door, the right agency for your specific spot and situation, impact someone who's likely already in a moment of crisis or urgent need? Especially if they're trying to access specialized support.